We would like to continue this morning our study of the Catechism, beginning today the commandments of the Church, and today we will cover the first two of the six commandments of the Church. And when we refer to what we normally call the Ten Commandments, we refer to them as the Ten Commandments of God. And they are called the commandments of God because, of course, they were given to us by God Himself. They were given to Moses in the Old Testament. The Ten Commandments cannot be changed because they embody the natural law, which will not be changed. However, any laws which the Church makes could be changed. For instance, if we are told by proper authority in the Catholic Church not to eat meat on Friday, the Catholic Church could come along and could change that and could say during a period of, for example, in Mexico, it was not made a law because that was sometimes all that the people had. So the point here is that the Church can change her own laws. So these six commandments are called the commandments of the Church to distinguish them from the Ten Commandments of God. Whence has the Catholic Church the right to make laws? The Catholic Church has the right to make laws from Jesus Christ, who said to the apostles, the first bishops of his church, "Whatever you bind on earth shall be bound also in heaven." Our Lord said that to St. Peter, and he also said it to all of the 12 apostles. So this right to make laws for the church is exercised by the bishops, who are successors of the apostles, and primarily by the Pope, who is the successor of St. Peter. And so we as traditional Catholics follow the laws of the church and the customs and the teachings, everything as it was at the time of the death of Pope Pius XII. So as far as the laws that were in force at the time of, in 1958, at the time of Pope Pius XII's death, we observe those laws. What kind of a sin would it be to disobey a church law? It would be a mortal sin to disobey a church law in an important matter, and a venial sin to disobey in a slight matter. Which are the chief commandments or laws of the Church? The chief commandments or laws of the Church are the following six. First, to assist at Mass on all Sundays and holy days of obligation. Second, to fast and to abstain on the days appointed. Third, to confess our sins at least once a year. Fourth, to receive Holy Communion during the Easter time. Fifth, to contribute to the support of the Church. And sixth, to observe the laws of the Church concerning marriage. So these are the six chief laws of the Church. And again, today we will cover the first two, to assist at Mass on all Sundays and holy days of obligation, and to fast and abstain on the days appointed. What sin does a Catholic commit who, through his own fault, misses Mass on a Sunday or holy day of obligation? A Catholic who, through his own fault, misses Mass on a Sunday or holy day of obligation commits a mortal sin. It is also a sin to miss even a part of the Mass by one's own fault on a Sunday or holy day. And the sin is either mortal or venial depending on the amount and the nature of the parts of the Mass that are missed. The chief parts of the Mass that a person must be present for in order to fulfill his obligation, at least to avoid mortal sin, would be the offertory, the consecration, and the communion. So supposing someone came late to Mass and he came during the Gloria, the person would not be guilty of mortal sin, but it would be a venial sin, supposing it is due to the person's own fault. You're driving to Mass and you have a flat tire. And so you fix the flat tire and then you get to Mass and you get there during the Epistle, during the first part of Mass. Well, that would not be due to your own fault. But to miss one of the three principal parts of the Mass through one's own fault would be a mortal sin. To miss them, to miss even part of the Mass through one's own fault would be a venial sin. And this is something you must understand, those principal parts, the offertory, the consecration, and the communion, and that means the priest's communion, not the communion of the faithful. Because sometimes you can have individuals who don't fully understand this, and you have a mother with a baby who's crying or something, so she leaves right before the consecration and comes back in after the consecration. Technically, she has missed Mass. And it's very important to realize this, the three principal parts of the Mass and the strict obligation to be present for them. What are some of the reasons that would excuse a person from attending Mass on a Sunday or holy day? Some of the reasons that excuse a person from attending Mass are grave or distressing illness, stormy weather, in the case of persons who are delicate or advanced in age, the care of a sick person who cannot be left alone, the need of work that cannot be neglected or postponed. Now, for example, if there is a sick person whom one is taking care of, and there's someone the person can alternate with and go to two different masses where each of them can attend the mass, those who take care of this person, then that should be done. But supposing you live in an area and there's only one mass and you're taking care of an elderly person, this person cannot be left unattended. That would be a different story. At what age does the obligation of hearing Mass begin? The obligation of hearing Mass begins when a baptized child has passed his 7th birthday, provided he has reached the use of reason. Strictly speaking, if you have a child who is retarded, hasn't reached the use of reason, even though the child is 9 or 10, strictly speaking, the child would not be obliged to attend Mass. But children must attend Mass from the time they're 7 years old. They must attend Mass, normally speaking. Now, that doesn't mean that parents should not bring their young children to Mass if they can be properly behaved, well and good, but they're not obliged to bring them to Mass. Now, what are the holy days of obligation in the United States? The holy days of obligation are the following 6. Christmas Day, December 25th, the Circumcision, January 1st, Ascension Thursday, the Assumption, August 15th, All Saints Day, and the Immaculate Conception, November 1st and December 8th. These are the 6 holy days of obligation that have been in force in our country. In other countries, there were more obligations, more holy days of obligation that were enforced. There are 10 holy days of obligation in the universal calendar of the Church. So there are 4 other holy days in which Catholics in this country are not strictly obliged to attend Mass, but should try to attend Mass. And those 4 other holy days are the Epiphany, St. Joseph's Day, Corpus Christi, and the Feast of Saints Peter and Paul. At one time, there were something like 33 holy days of obligation. And they are listed in the beginning of the priest's breviary, and now they are called Festa Feriata, which means feasts that have been feriated or transferred to normal days. And on those former holy days, a pastor is still obliged to offer Mass pro populo for the people, just like he does on Sunday and other holy days. And you can tell what days those are by looking on your church calendar. And you'll see a little cross down in the corner of that particular date on a special feast. Like, for example, an example would be the Feast of the Purification of Our Blessed Mother, or, again, the Feast of the Epiphany. Some of these other saints that formerly were holy days, the priest still is under the obligation to say Mass for the people, the main pastor of a parish. Why does the Catholic Church oblige Catholics to attend Mass on these holy days? Well, the reason is because Holy Mother Church wishes to remind us of the mysteries of our religion and of the most important events in the lives of Christ and of His Blessed Mother, and to recall to us the virtues and the rewards of the saints. So Holy Mother Church obliging Catholics to go to Mass on that day gives them an opportunity to attend the liturgy, to hear a sermon, and to be reminded of the principal truths of our faith. Now, remember that a holy day of obligation must be treated like a Sunday. The Church obliges us to abstain from servile work on holy days of obligation just as on Sundays, as far as we are able. On a holy day of obligation, Catholics should abstain from household work, such as washing, ironing, house cleaning, as far as possible, just as on Sunday. What is a day of fast? Now we get into the second commandment of the Church. Catholics are obliged to observe the laws of the Church regarding fast and abstinence. A fast day is a day on which only one full meal is permitted. That's strictly speaking the definition of a fast day. In the morning and in the evening, some food may be taken, the quantity and quality of which are determined by local custom. In this country, for example, the bishops of the United States got together and determined what would be the obligation in this country. And that is approved by Rome, and that is what we follow now. And that was determined back in the 1950s. But centuries back, on days of fast, there was only one meal, period. And then over a period of time, 2 smaller meals were permitted. And it used to be that the main meal was shortly after noon. And so the small meals would be in the morning and in the evening. But in our circumstances, according to current social conditions, the main meal is taken in the evening, usually, and the breakfast and lunch meal would be the small meals. But whatever the order, the main meal cannot be before noon, and the two small meals combined are not permitted to equal or exceed what would be taken at the main meal. And there is no eating between meals. Who is obliged by the law of fast? Those obliged to the law of fast are those who are between the ages of 21 and 59. And that means that when someone has reached his 21st birthday, on the day on which he's 21 years old, he's obliged to fast, if that day is a fast day, and up until a person turns 60, he's obliged to the laws of fast, unless someone is excused or dispensed. You have someone engaged in very heavy manual labor, he can just ask the priest in the confessional, and he can be dispensed from or excused from the obligation of fast, if reasons warrant it. The same with a mother who is nursing or something of that nature. One may take liquids as often as he wishes on a fast day, provided they are not equivalent to food such as would be cream or eggnog. All baptized persons between the ages of 21 and 59 are obliged to observe fast. What is a day of abstinence? A day of abstinence is a day on which we are not allowed the use of meat. All baptized persons 7 years of age or over are obliged to observe the abstinence days of the church unless they are excused or dispensed. Now, you know the reasons why Holy Mother Church requires us to fast and abstain is because we have to do penance. Our Lord says, unless you do penance, you shall not enter the kingdom of heaven. You shall perish. Unless a man do penance, he shall perish. Our Lord said that several times in the scriptures, that if we would follow him, we must deny ourselves, take up our cross. Well, of ourselves, we don't do that. If we can get around it, we don't do penance very easily. It's something human nature doesn't like. Holy Mother Church, out of concern for her children, says, I'm going to make you do penance. You have to if you want to get to heaven. Unless you're made to do it, you probably won't do it. So Holy Mother Church gives us these days of fast and abstinence in order to make certain that we do the penance that we must do if we wish to save our immortal souls. The Church commands us to fast and abstain in order that we may control the desires of the flesh, raise our minds more freely to God, and make satisfaction for sin. So Holy Mother Church, as a loving mother, out of concern for us, realizes the benefits that flow from fasting. What are the principal reasons for doing penance? The principal reasons for doing penance are to satisfy God's justice for our own sins and for those of other persons, and also for the temporal punishment due to sin, and to strengthen ourselves against temptation. The more one does penance, mortifies himself, the more he strengthens his willpower to be able to resist temptations. A person who says, well, I'm going to try and resist temptation, but does not take upon himself some penitential practices, is not going to have the strength to overcome temptation. So that is what is the reason behind fast and abstinence. And when we curtail food, mortify ourselves on what we eat, that is one of the best penances we could possibly do. And so this is why we fast and abstain. The Church makes Friday a day of abstinence to remind us of our Lord's death on Good Friday. Lent is a time of fasting to commemorate our Lord's fast of 40 days in the desert. The Ember Days, which occur four times a year during each season, are the 3 days of the Ember Week, are days of fast and abstinence, to ask for God's special favors, especially that he will provide the church with worthy priests. And priests are normally ordained on Ember Saturdays. Why does the church observe certain vigils as days of fast and abstinence? The church observes certain vigils as days of fast and abstinence in order to prepare us for the greater feasts, for a vigil is the day immediately preceding a great feast, such as Christmas and Pentecost. And the last question, how can we know the days appointed for fast and abstinence? We can know the days appointed for fast or abstinence from the instructions of our bishops and priests, and also from your calendar. And on the back of the calendar, it gives very detailed instruction. So this is very important for us to know the laws of fast and abstinence, for parents to make certain your children are observing them. If it is a day of partial abstinence, such as Wednesday of an Ember Week, to make certain you don't send your children to school with a bologna sandwich, unless that's going to be their only meat that day, because they can have it only once. And it is very important for us to be careful about these, to look in the calendar and to look for the little fish, or the F, which stands for fast, or the half fish, which means meat only once. And remember that whenever it is a fish, whether it's a half or whole, that obliges everyone who's 7 years of age or over. And when it's just an F, which is for fasting, that obliges everyone. Now note this, if it is a day of fast that is not also a day of abstinence or partial abstinence, then those of us who are obliged to fast can still have meat only once. How do you figure that? Because just read everything under the column of fast on the back of your calendar. Everything that's under the column that says fasting applies when there is the F for fasting for those 21 to 59. So it's really not that difficult. All you have to do is study the calendar and just read it over. But it really is very important. And of course, if we knowingly, if someone willingly had meat on Friday or ate in between meals on a fast day, it would be a serious sin. This is a serious obligation. So it is something we should take seriously. Remember that all of the laws of the church, and we'll go into the other four laws of the church in the next sermon, but all of these laws of the church are written for our spiritual benefit. We should not look upon them as, I have to do this, I can't do that, I can't have meat on Friday. As very often non-Catholics did, why does the church make you do this? Why does the church make us do that? It is because the church loves us. Holy Mother Church, as a loving mother, is concerned for our spiritual welfare. And so she makes us do what very often we would not do on our own. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.